this week. The world fell apart completely again. The horrific shooting of a young political action group leader by an even younger shooter who allegedly was a follower of an extremist political movement, and the furor that has erupted surrounding this event proved again that we, humanity, are so broken, so divided, so violent and filled with hate, prove that we are so far from what God intends for us, so far from the kingdom, from a world transformed by God's mercy, God's reconciliation, God's healing, God's peace. This week's events prove that we are so far from the beloved community that God created us for, that I confess it's easy to feel hopeless. From the immediate blame at the national level, the angry finger pointing from one party to another, to the more personal, as anyone on social media was bombarded with posts, opinions, assertions that were often hurtful, painful, as friends posted things that intentionally or not landed close to home. The intense accusations, angry claims about who is at fault, assertions as to who should be held responsible, as to who bears the blame for being the driving force of hate and division and violence in our world, literally went in every direction. Hatred, violence, division along lines of race, party, faith community, gender, division of communities, church families, neighborhoods were all brought into such focus that it's sometimes difficult to imagine how the world will ever change. Sometimes it seems that God is making no progress at transforming humanity. Sometimes it seems almost impossible to believe that the community in which love and compassion and good reign is even possible. And yet today, the Holy Scripture, the readings assigned for this day, the Word of the living God spoken in the words of the Bible, today, yet again, God proclaims hope. Today, again, we hear the good news that God, our God, loves this world and refuses to give up on this world, loves humanity and refuses to give up on humanity, loves us and refuses to give up on us. The good news is that God never, ever gives up on the lost. The scripture readings we heard today both make the point. Our God is a God of steadfast love, a God of compassion and mercy, and thus our God seeks the lost. Our God seeks to bring home those who are lost in fear, lost in brokenness, lost in death, those who have lost hope, lost peace, lost love. Look at that story of Moses from the Exodus. Now, I know the story says that God was the angry one, that Moses convinced God to change God's mind. But 3,000 years of perspective since that was written down, and more importantly, 2,000 years of Jesus, help us see it differently. Because the whole story of salvation would say it's not actually God that had a change of mind. It was Moses whose mind was being changed about who God is. It was Moses who realizes that God was different from any other God whom he had ever heard of. It was Moses who realized, who learned in this conversation that God was a God who would have compassion on a bunch of nobody slaves who with mighty acts worked to bring them to freedom out of bondage in Egypt, and that God would still love them even after they had forgotten what God had just done for them. Moses realized that this God might just be willing to save the people once more, to give them another chance, despite the fact that they faithlessly and foolishly built for themselves a golden idol. And then in Luke, there's Jesus with these parables about the lost, parables which spell out God's economy. What woman, Jesus said, having lost one of her 10 coins, does not light a lamp and search unceasingly until she finds it? She does not say, well, I still have 90% of my money. And what shepherd, having lost one of his 100 sheep, doesn't rush out to find the one that was gone? He doesn't say, well, I still have 99%. I'll forget the lost one. And what about God, Jesus asks. Do you think God is satisfied with drawing in, forgiving, transforming, leading, and loving 50% of the people, 60%, 90, 99%? No. I tell you, Jesus is saying, I tell you, God does not stop searching. God does not stop working. God will never, never, ever stop searching out the lost, even if only one of God's more than 8 billion children is consumed by hate, even if there is one who is disfigured by vengeance, one who is lost to the powers of fear and rivalry, hatred, violence, and death, God will not be finished. God will continue pouring out love because God is love. Friends, the whole Bible tells stories of nearly constant human failure to trust in God, of constant human faithlessness, of constant straying from the covenants that God makes with God's people. The fact is, if God was not firmly committed to never giving up on the lost, all of humanity would have been abandoned long ago. And that's why we're here, to hear this good news, the most important news, the news that makes hope possible. No matter how lost the world is, no matter how lost we are, no matter how confused, deluded, no matter how consumed with anger, hatred, rancor, self-centeredness we might be, God has not given up. God will not give up on us. Period. Jesus said, there's joy in heaven. There's joy among the angels. There's joy in the heart of God when any person repents, changes their mind, has a change of heart, when even one lost soul is turned around, remade in God's image, remade with love. That's the joy of God. Which brings us back to this week, to this revelation, to this intensification of conflict and division, anger, violence of action and thought that has assailed us this week. Which brings us to the question, what then are we to do? How are we as followers of Jesus to live? And I think the answer is both tremendously simple and tremendously difficult. Jesus said, "Listen to my voice. Do what I do. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me." Which means, again, opening our hearts again and again to God's love. Which means paying attention and noticing and resisting whenever we are being drawn in to that anger, into that rage, into that rivalry which accuses and inflames and divides. Which means speaking up, speaking out against hate, truthfully and with strength, but also with compassion and with kindness, in ways that invite reconciliation rather than increase division. Which means acting with love for others, even when we're drawing attention to hate in the service of change. Which means prayer, reflection, contemplation upon our own words and actions and deepest convictions in the light of who God is and who God calls us to be. Sometimes it is difficult to have hope for the world, for humanity, for the inbreaking of the reign of God's love. Thanks be to God for a Christ who proclaims again today, "But I will never, never give up on finding, on saving those who are lost." Amen.